Right, I'd like to call the order of the Renewal Enterprise District meeting of February 21st, 2024. And for the record, I think we can say that we all members are present.
Yes.
And that's picking up, is it?
Okay.
Shall we move on to the selection of 2024 officers of the board? And I'll look for nominations to elect a chairperson and a vice chairperson from my colleagues.
I'll recommend Supervisor Corsi as chair and Councilmember Alvarez as vice chair.
Great.
Second.
Great.
All in.
Except. Are there any other nominations? We'll close nominations and I'll look to my colleagues. Is everyone in favor of the motion that's on the floor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
That's for the record, that does pass unanimously with all present. Chris, you want it?
Would you like some chair notes?
All right, move on to the public comment on matters not listed.
Move on to item number three, public comment on matters not listed on the agenda, but within the subject matter, jurisdiction of the board. Anyone who public comment, not in the audience, about online?
We have not received any public comment.
Okay. Do we, have we decided on a Zoom public comment policy in this book?
We have currently been operating with a hybrid of having the Zoom available for viewing and watching and listening, but any comments would need to be made in person.
Okay, thank you. All right, no public comment. We'll move on to the consent calendar. Items A, B, and C. Any questions on any of those items? More comments. All right. Can we have a motion on the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Number five is the regular calendar.
Hold on one second. Sorry. We would need Councilman Alvarez to abstain since he was not at the last meeting, just from item 4A, which is the minutes.
Correct. Although if I read up on the I prefer to abstain, absolutely.
Okay. And then for 4B and 4C, which are the approval year-to-date financial report and renew legal services agreement with Burke Williams Sorensen, extended through term through December 31st, 2024, for a not-to-exceed amount of $20,000, we would need a vote on that. That would be separate from that.
All right.
4A.
Okay. Need a motion on
yes.
4C and B.
Right. We'll move items 4B and 4C.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those pass unanimously.
And I'll move 4A.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With one abstention. Thank you.
I actually got this confused. I abstained from the first one and voted on the second, so I reversed mine.
That was correct, yeah. All right, yeah, yeah, great.
All right. I think we got that.
Well, through the chair, can I make sure you all have your microphones on?
Yes.
Okay. So we're moving quite fast through the agenda items, which is fantastic. And last year you had this item on consent calendar. However, I was advised to move it to a regular calendar item. And we would be able to have a presentation at about 10 o'clock is when the consultant would be available. If you wanted to wait until he's available to have him do his presentation, then perhaps I would recommend that we swap the order of the agenda items. If you wanted to review it similarly to how you reviewed it last year, which is that it was just on the consent calendar. And also, I should note that there were no, the audit was a clean audit, similar to last year. So it's it's up to you what how you want to proceed.
All right. I'm okay with doing this a la consent. See a lot of nodding heads here. So
okay.
Can we get a motion on number 5?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, this is fiscal year 2022-23 financial audit, clean audit with no significant findings. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you, Robin.
Great, okay.
Moving on to number 6, our study session.
Great. So give me just a second to pull up the presentation.
Robin, you should have made it.
That would be great, thank you. So the purpose of this agenda item is to have a study session to review the draft preliminary budget. And you all had gone through quite an extensive review of the budget and discussion last year. And so I thought that the best way to handle this preliminary is to take where you landed last year and present that back to you as sort of a, this is how we're looking based on what you had decided last year, a very similar budget. And then we can have further discussions. And if there are changes that we need to make for the actual draft budget presentation for our next board meeting, then I can include those changes, comments, discussions in that and provide that for you.
Robin, can I interrupt for a minute? I'm having a hard time loading this on my iPad.
Okay.
I wonder if either yes. you or Michelle might be able to email me this presentation just so I can page back and forth through it. Or if you have a printed one, I'll take that.
Yeah, have part of it printed. I didn't print the slides, but you'll be able to see those.
Okay.
So, through the chair, if there's another copy available, I'll appreciate it. My phone also does not want to load it.
Okay. I didn't bring 2 copies. Apologize. I could email you a copy and you could share the hard yeah. copy there. Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Chair Percy, does your device have a USB or a USC connection?
No.
Let's see. I'm hesitant to get off of this and mess the Zoom up. If you would mind helping with that either. Okay. Thank you. Also, if you have the calendar, the invite open, no. Okay.
Yeah, it's not. It says it's there, but it won't open.
Okay, great.
Correct.
Sorry about that. All right. So, just as a point of reminder, we are in terms of the Renewal Enterprise Joint Powers Authority Agreement, which states that at a date no later than 60 days before the end of the fiscal year, the board shall adopt a budget for the RED for the ensuing fiscal year. And so our budget cycle would mean that by the end of April, we would need to approve a preliminary budget for 24-25. And just as a recap of the RED's origin story, startup and general operations have been funded through a $1 million grant from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. To date, an additional $1,306,000 have been received in grants and donations. These have, majority of these funds have been applied through the first 3 years and have gone to primarily the RED Housing Fund startup costs and development of that program, which is now in its 3rd year and is essentially operational and moving forward. Historically, the RED's operating costs in 2021 were $341,200. In 21-22, they were $874,878. And in 2022-23, they were $795,720. And they're estimated to be $241,304 at the end of this current fiscal year. And that reflects the fact that we have been in a little bit of a, we have the operational RED Housing Fund is kind of operating on its own at this point. And so we haven't needed to put a lot of additional funds into the startup of that program. And then there were some savings in some line items that we didn't spend, or that we anticipate that we won't spend through this calendar year. There was some savings in executive director services because the previous executive director wasn't charging for about 4 or 5 months there. About 5 months, I think, before I came on. So there were some savings there. And then additionally, there were some things that you identified in the budget sessions last year that because of timing and circumstance just haven't come to fruition, some certain projects that we're going to talk a little bit more about later, that those monies weren't spent. So that's why the budget looks so much lower than it would normally be. So the basic overhead for the red, if you just take the core operation and the programming that you established from last year at current program levels, that would average around $275,000 for just that basic operating. That doesn't include sort of some of the other things that we've identified that you might want to pursue, that the timing isn't quite right, which we'll talk about in a second. And for the sake of this budgeting exercise, I thought that it would be best to just show you what sort of the core operations look like, and then we can talk about what your priorities are moving forward. This is one of the benefits of this organization, is that it's scalable and it's very nimble, which I think is great, because that means that when you need to be sort of lean, you can be lean. But if there's specific things that present themselves that you want to work on, there's the opportunity to do a budget adjustment and to, you know, figure out how we're going to fund the effort of those specific projects. And so I think that given the current time that we're in right now, with the fact that the organization is in a little bit of a transition from startup into, you know, long-term operations, or sort of the next iteration, I would say, of the RED and also the RED Housing Fund, it's a little bit of a turning point in the organization. And so if projects come forward, you know, I think that approaching those from a project specific budget allocation made sense. At this point last year, you decided to have a member assessment of a total of $100,000. At this point, we could continue to operate in 2024-25 without that assessment if you wanted to. If things came forward that you wanted to work on, we'd probably need to revisit that. And I'll go into a little bit more detail, but that's sort of the kind of how I was approaching putting this budget together for you. So this slide may look familiar. This is one that you reviewed last year with Michelle Whitman. And it shows some of the work that you guys did to prioritize specific functions of the organization. The green arrow was, yes, this is definitely we want to do. The yellow was, we would do sort of if it seemed like the right thing to do at that moment. And there was some flexibility there. And then what I did was I took last year's, and then I tried to reestablish what I thought it would take for the next budget cycle in each of those buckets, if you will, and adjusted those. So for the first one, the activities to maintain the RED's baseline function, this is just the organizational, like admin, running these board meetings, general admin, basic accounting, basic legal, general legal, the audit, and sort of office stuff that we would need to just keep the organization going. And so that's up just slightly based on my initial calculations of that, to from 75,000 to 76,500. The continued financial and technical assistance for collaborative grant applications. This is basically if we need to hire outside grant consultant to do the collaborative grants, which have been super successful in the past. And if they come forward, we would want to be ready to do those, I think, because they're a great value to the community. So keeping that at the 35K level, and that includes some staff time and the consultant's time. So far, since I've been at the organization, I have applied for one grant, which was the urban greening grant. In that grant application, it was a very fast turnaround and I wasn't able to get a consultant engaged. And so I just ended up submitting the grant and doing that grant on my own. And it was also fairly straightforward. Some of the other grants that this organization has historically engaged on are very complicated and involve lots of very complicated math. And so those would be the ones that we would specifically use an outside consultant who specialized in those grants and who historically we have found that makes our grants more competitive and hence, you know, worth the effort to hire that consultant. Some of the things that we would continue to do that haven't that are included in the basic activities are to track and provide feedback on housing policy and legislation. The support, administrative support for the Red Housing Fund has been at 75K for both cost and recovery. And so that's something that we might want to discuss, but that's a fully recoverable expense. Monitoring, participating in, and reporting on the Bay Area Housing Finance Authority, BAFA, was previously 30K. I reduced it to 10K because essentially the effort to be intrinsically involved in the BAFA is already being conducted by Michelle Whitman through the CDC, and also the Red Housing Fund, as you know, is going to be engaged in helping with the expenditure plan. So the amount of work that I estimated that the Red would be involved in would be at a high level, just kind of monitoring and participating in that expenditure plan workshop, and then bringing that information back to the board and through to the board's stakeholders, essentially. So that's not a lot of extra lift there. And then the essential function bonds are a really interesting project that I am very excited to work on. However, because of the timing of those, it's something that we could be getting ready to do right now. And so what I ended up including in here, this $45,000 number, is like a make ready project. This is also to meet our budget so that I didn't have to come and ask for an assessment this year. I was thinking, this make ready project could really identify what it is we're doing, because that's still a little bit of a question mark in terms of how we would put this together and how it would work with the current JPA. And there's some legwork that needs to happen there. And also the project, it appears that the project would need to be of a sizable, maybe multi-project, in order to make the math work for the bond issuance. And so in order to do that, there's quite a lot of discussion and legwork that we would want to do to get ready for that. And I feel like we're not quite there yet. So it's a combination of being getting our ducks in a row and being ready so that if a project or a portfolio of projects, which is what it would likely take to, in order to do that, were to come forward, we would be ready to act on it. So one of the conundrums with the JPA, the essential function bond, is that because you are essentially competing with the market, you kind of have to be fast in a sense in your turnaround. And we've not done this yet before, and there's not a lot of modeling of this to fall back on. So we would be creating this from scratch. And so at this point, I'm saying what would make sense if we wanted to stay with the no assessment budget that I'm showing you today would be to get ready for that. And then if something were to come forward, then we would understand what that was. And we would be able to, if we needed to raise additional funds, we'd be able to come and ask for those from you.
Robin, it seems that if we're talking about multiple properties, mm-hmm. to make a package, basically,
that
doesn't happen without maybe a real estate professional involved who's actively looking to put together a package like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way that we have been thinking about this is in partnership with somebody who would be providing that. That bringing that expertise to the table and not having to do that myself. So like another affordable housing developer that we would joint partner with and do it through them, kind of work with them to do that. our expenses would be primarily on the legal side of things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that kind of radar active in the community right now?
I would say not active might be a strong word. I would say that there are people that are looking at it, and we are certainly looking at it. And I would say that in a lot of the housing elements, it's been supported. Mm-hmm. So it's the concept, the idea are there. It's just that the market with the interest rates the way they are isn't favorable. So it's a kind of thing where we need to wait till, you know, the planets align with and get ourselves ready so that we're ready to act when that happens.
Okay. And I'm going to assume that it's okay with you if anybody who has questions just jumps in.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So a couple of things on this. One is when we're talking about essential function bonds, we're not just looking at Santa Rosa, we're looking at other jurisdictions, I would imagine.
Well, part of the challenge is if we only look in Santa Rosa, it really limits our ability to do this.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the things that I'm wondering is if the housing bond passes and there is more money, if that's going to impact us and how we can be operationally prepared for an increase in interest, not just in essential function bonds, but also in membership in the Renewal Enterprise District. And I get that we're in kind of a transition period from building up, deploying our resources, mm-hmm. and figuring out how we're going to refocus.
Mm-hmm.
And I do appreciate, you know, what looks like a pretty trim and thrifty budget.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do want to make sure is that we are prepared for the potential increase in operational load.
Yeah.
If this housing bond does pass, which is a huge if, as everyone knows.
Yeah, it's been tough to think about the budget in such a volatile environment. Because of what you just mentioned. And I think that's why I kind of approach this as let's figure out what the base level of operation is. And if something starts to move, we should be ready for that. I think it's also advantageous that we have also this other organization, which is the Red Housing Fund, which is very involved in working with the jurisdictions. And so we're benefiting from that arrangement on this side of our budget. We're benefiting from that arrangement. So I think that's something to acknowledge. And there's a little work kind of carved out for this organization to kind of make ready. And that's sort of how I'm thinking about that $10,000 that I have there to monitor and track the BAFA. It's that and the other $10,000 that's here for the next item, which is to conduct I still think that might be a worthwhile effort at some point to conduct that joint hearing for the purpose of what you're talking about, sort of getting ready and understanding what the value proposition is and where we might be of value within that if it should pass.
Yeah, I would certainly be in favor of being prepared on the front end. I'd rather be prepared and have it not come to fruition that we mm-hmm. need it than mm-hmm. be left flat-footed in the event that we do have the funding and we're not ready to deploy the resources properly.
Right. Okay. So that may be a conversation that we come back to at a later date, I think, for a separate conversation on what that means to be ready for that. But I could also think about that before our next budget hearing right. and talk, we could talk about it.
Well, I certainly don't mean to take something off the agenda that doesn't belong there, but I just was speaking to the budget and mm-hmm. making sure that we're prepared financially. I know that we won't know till the end of, well, not this fiscal year, but mid-fiscal year where we stand on this. So we may need a revision
right.
In early next year.
Right. The other thing I will say is that as I was putting this together, I was really thinking about what are the revenue sources we might be able to tap into. And in terms of the grant seeking, a lot of the grants do have an administrative carve out as part of the grant. And I think that is an appropriate place for us to develop a secondary revenue stream. And so that also comes to play in the BAFA question. So.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
I think it would be worthwhile to schedule a discussion sometime in the next couple of months
okay.
about what we see as the role of the RED if BAFA comes to fruition.
Would it be advantageous to have that be part of the conversation before we vote on the preliminary, or before you approve the preliminary budget, because we could discuss it before that part of the conversation at the next board meeting, if that would help you be better informed on.
Go ahead, Dave.
Just remind me what the timing is with Foresight and those conversations with the city, because I think there's an opportune time there to talk about that as well with sure. cities, but we should, as this board should be, you know, we should have a plan in place to make sure we know what we're offering and talking about.
Yeah. So they, the Red Housing Fund is basically, what's the word I'm looking for? Facilitating the expenditure plan, which is, has its kickoff meeting in the beginning of March, I believe March 7th. And so they're getting going and it's underway with the work for the expenditure plan. In terms of the schedule, is that what you were looking for, or are you looking for a bigger BAFA schedule?
Just how, there, I mean, I feel like we should be coordinated with that,
mm-hmm.
with what we have to offer,
mm-hmm.
What we want to offer, and how we see that coming to fruition with those discussions. And I'm not sure if that will take place. Certainly probably won't take place at the first meeting, but as we move through the expenditure plan discussions with the city, the county,
mm-hmm.
that part of that, and of course, on a parallel track is the city of Santa Rosa.
Right.
Yeah.
And may I add into that, that I think that this body has the ability to potentially have a conversation that bridges some of those parallel tracks
mm-hmm.
in a way that provides some cohesive vision mm-hmm. for the region or the sub-region in the county. And so I'm in favor of perhaps getting this conversation going sooner
yeah.
rather than later.
Okay, great.
Through the chair, if I had to speak to these bones, I would need the microphone though.
Thank you, Michelle Whitman, Executive Director of the Community Development Commission, and also a member of the Red Housing Fund Board. I just want to clarify that at this point, the Red Housing Fund has approved funding to get the expenditure plan process started, starting with the kickoff in March, early March, and then the project will play out, I think it's in five phases, some data gathering in the second phase and one-on-one meetings with cities. What I am want to be sensitive to and might just raise the flag for all of you is that the cities have expressed some concern that they're going to be told what to do instead of being part of the process of deciding collectively what we're going to do. And so I'm really trying to respect that and not be presumptuous that the Red is going to have this role that we see for it. The Red is a very powerful tool and the cities recognize that. But I think as we go through the process of developing our expenditure plan, it will become clearer which of our tools fit where. The Red has a role. The Red Housing Fund could have a role, but I think it'll be a more harmonious process if we let the cities discover these things rather than us doing a hard sell. Just my own perspective and advice, and certainly am led by direction given by this board and the Board of Supervisors, certainly. And then back to the Red Housing Fund funding, getting the process started by allocating funding. Eventually, the Board of Supervisors is going to have an item presented to them where they will repay the Red Housing Fund. So I want to make that clear too. At this point, the Red Housing Fund is more of a funder and pass-through, but that role I imagine will expand as we go through this process of developing an expenditure plan. Thank you.
Those are good points, and I appreciate you making them, Michelle. Can you describe how the expenditure plan process will proceed? Are these public meetings? Are they meetings of staff? Are they meetings of elected officials? All of the above? What is this going to look like?
Thank you for the question. There initially will be meetings with city staff and city administrators. So city managers, for example, a county administrator will be involved in this process. How information flows to the electeds can take several paths. It can flow through the county administrator bringing you updated. As your CDC executive director, I'll be keeping you updated. The housing leads in each of the cities will be keeping their city managers and the electeds updated. And then certainly on the table for the county, probably me as the executive director of the CDC, to go to city councils and give them progress reports on how this process is going. One of the things that I think we want to be smart about is at least until this thing is put to voters and hopefully approved, we want to maintain harmony. And I believe this process will be harmonious from beginning to end. But it's possible when we get to the finalizing our expenditure plan that could be a little bit divisive or contentious. I'd like to have those conversations after it passes, and especially to the extent that they happen in public at public meetings.
Okay. And it should be noted that the expenditure plan that you're talking about is for the county and 8 of the 9 cities minus Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa will be doing its own expenditure plan. And council members, do you have any idea what that's going to look like on the city side?
To my knowledge, that we have not received any sort of information or briefing about what that will look like on the city side. And I'm sure there will be some regulatory, you know, piece of that comes through the legislation from BAFA about how that has to look. But we haven't had, as far as I recall.
I do agree with that.
Through the chair, I can add that I've shared the scope of work that the county and the 8 cities, excluding Santa Rosa, will be following. Shared that with City of Santa Rosa. So they're aware of what we're doing and may mirror our process, but I haven't had an update recently from them.
Okay. This has been a, yeah, go ahead.
I really do appreciate your comments, Michelle. At the same time, looking at the budget, just wanting to understand how that connection plays with the work product that we're budgeting for this next year. And I see the BAFA has 10 grand up there for the year. Is that enough to cover the kind of monitoring of the process on the city side?
I think so. And additionally, I do have a regular meeting moving forward with the City of Santa Rosa staff. So yeah, to try to create that conduit bridge connection, but we can bump that up. I imagine I would be back before you with something more, more involved and more detailed later in the fiscal cycle. It's just too early to tell. So I thought maybe we would wait until then. And then once we knew more come next fall about what was happening, although I appreciate that getting ready is definitely of interest. So maybe we should.
So next fall again is the date, the anticipated date where there'll be some sort of path forward defined with the county and the cities. And then I would take it that if the red were to be involved, that would be the next item of business that would take place fall, winter, spring, going forward. So we'll have another chance to revisit the budget to adjust it accordingly.
Right.
Okay.
And Robin, earlier you had asked us a question of timing about when to deal with this as far as our own budget process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put that back to you.
Okay.
And
ask you when makes sense for on the budgeting side.
Well, if we believe that the base budget is sound and there can be some opportunities to come back with some budget adjustments as projects present themselves and become clearer, I think that that might be a good approach, because it's pretty early to say what will happen, and it's hard for me to quantify. So
do we believe that?
I do. You believe that, or do you, or how do you, what feels most comfortable for you? Would it feel most comfortable to have sort of more built into the budget now, so that you, and then if we don't spend that money, obviously it'll roll over to the next year. But it would, as you have seen, or we'll see in a second, the budget's barely budgeting right now without the assessment. And so given the current budget crunch that we're all feeling, I wanted to present you a budget that gave you the option to maybe not have a member assessment.
I'm trying to get a feeling of what the reality is.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it's more likely than not that we're going to need additional funds,
mm-hmm.
then let's deal with it up front, so we're not going through budgeting process as things pop up.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay, so then I would probably bump it up, just given the fact that I've heard the direction from you that you would like the red to be more involved. Okay.
Great. I do agree with Director Whitman's point about not ruffling feathers, not getting ahead of our skis, waiting for the cities to determine that we're the right tool
mm-hmm.
for this. But if we're going to have a really bare bones budget in order to avoid an assessment, that's a different conversation.
Okay.
So I'd rather have the right budget with the right assessment for the what we're dealing with now and what we reasonably believe is in our forecast
mm-hmm.
than just doing something to avoid the assessment. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that as an option, though. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And I think it's easier for us putting on our Board of Supervisors hats to get the assessment taken care of during our own budgeting process instead of having it come back later in the year.
Yeah.
The last thing I would add is that it'd be better to prepare for an assessment now rather than skip it and then come back and ask for it later.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep the city and the county used to the assessment, so long as it's useful and used, then it's appropriate.
Okay.
But I think it's difficult to get out of the habit of it and get back.
Gotcha.
Is everybody okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we have... Also, the proposed to help, there was a joint cities, county of Sonoma meeting for related to housing that was on last year's priority list. And so I have $10,000 sort of one time built in for that. It may fold in to the BAFA. Seems like it could. Not that it needs to. There's a bigger housing question that we could focus on. So I would love any direction or feedback on that item and how you're feeling about that item in terms of timing. Is it something we still want to prioritize in the next fiscal cycle?
To me, it feels like it's getting a little bit confused with what's going on with BAFA, expenditure planning. I know it's not that, but I can see that it could be, it could muddle the waters rather than clarify.
Has there been any demand or interest from the jurisdictions for this kind of event?
Well, I have not met with several of the jurisdictions to give them a red housing fund update and a renewal enterprise district update. And that's to sort of establish sort of their interest. And there is interest in particular around BAFA and in particular around the essential function bonds and creating the model for that. So anytime that we have met, it seems to go towards one or those other conversations specifically. Yeah.
Can I ask who's the Foresight contract? I know that Red Housing Fund was supplying the funds.
Yes.
But who has oversight of that contract?
The Red Housing Fund has oversight over that contract.
So will it be your time spent?
Yes.
And is that included? Is that, I know that's a different, is that included in the other administrative overhead, or is that kind of included?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And our involvement in facilitating that contract is minimal. It's facilitating the contract and managing the contract and then participating in the meetings. It's the workload is primarily on Foresight to do the workload. So yeah. I imagine my participation will be consistent, but more as somebody who participates, not as someone who prepares.
So personally, for me, number six looks a little duplicative, right?
Yeah. It's on there because it was there last year and it was important last year. So I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't something that I didn't quite, that I skipped over if it was something you really felt strongly about. But I think what I'm hearing is that we could probably cover that, the connection component of that through these other efforts that we have underway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And it may turn out that at some point we need to have a joint cities county meeting on essential function bonds specifically.
Yes.
Or on BAFA one. Yeah, who knows? But I think just the general, let's have a meeting about housing, is probably not something we need to do this year.
Okay. Would concur with that. And again, I just want to reiterate that if the essential function bonds seem to pick up speed because of the climate shifting or something to present itself, then we would probably need to come back for higher revenue for that. We don't currently have the revenue for that. So it would either need to be covered through an assessment, the assessment number that I present to you in April. So if you feel like that's something you want to be ready for, similarly to the BAFA measure, then I would need to build that back into the budget. Because right now it's at 45,000 versus the 100,000 that it would take to really get that up and running, the model up and running in partnership with a trusted partner who was doing the real estate component that you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So I would love to hear if there's direction towards that, or if you would rather me come back later once that is more defined with a budget adjustment.
My feelings are less strong on this one than they were.
Really strong.
Okay. One component to consider is that if we...
If I may, just thinking of timelines, is there anything that you foresee that might become an issue moving down closer to due dates, such as the 60 days before the fiscal year, or anything that you foresee being prolonged in the process?
No.
Okay.
What I was going to add is that if other jurisdictions decided to join the RED because of the essential function bond component, then that might be the time to talk about that project in its entirety. This would be a get ready for that. This budget that I'm showing you here would be a get ready for that kind of budget.
And they would bring with them assessments as well.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we feel about that item? Should I leave it at this make ready, get ready number of 45, or do you want me to bump that up to be more in line with what you saw last year?
I'm thinking that we're comfortable with a make ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the budget at a glance, our current starting balance is $323,284, and that includes the $100,000 that we have in reserve, which is double the needed reserve, but because of the nature of what we're doing, the board voted last year to keep that 100 in reserve, so that we currently are keeping that 100 in reserve. at a later date, that extra reserve may be an opportunity for us. If there was a project we wanted to advance and we wanted to use that reserve, we may consider that at a later date. We are towards the end of the Kaiser grant that had been funding the startup of the Red Housing Fund, but we anticipate in the next budget cycle that there will be a remaining $25,000 to apply to that, which leaves us with a net balance of $198,284. And then the projected revenue of $75,000, which is coming from the Red Housing Fund, and then a $2,500 number, which is sort of interest on our money, on our reserve. And that has been historically higher, but we don't know what it will be in the future. So this is just a kind of a conservative number that we put in for that. So therefore, the available budget for the RED operations and programming would be $273,284, which is, you know, doesn't leave any fluff in the budget. We would need to be very careful to stick to that. But as we've discussed, I will be coming back with you with a slightly revised, what a more, I guess one of the things I wanted feedback today was what is a remaining delta in the budget that you feel comfortable seeing? Because this is pretty tight and pretty lean, but I thought I would show it to you and then we can discuss how to cover the bases.
These numbers do or do not include $100,000 in assessments?
They do not. Right.
I for one, am comfortable with a semi-lean situation with the assessment.
Okay.
Because that allows us to have a little bit of runway as conditions change. You know, market rates are going to change, may change, rate environment may change, housing bond may change, interest in essential function bonding may change. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of factors that are unknown, and I would again want to reiterate that we need to be prepared for conditions to change. We're in a bit of a lull right now. We may be here longer than we'd like, but we'd like to be ready for us to get out of the way.
Okay. So in terms of the other revenue sources that I had mentioned before, I'm looking at those carefully and trying to figure out what an enterprise district really means in terms of being able to self-sustain itself. And if the essential function bonds were to move forward, that would be a very, very straightforward way for us to fund the organization until at what point, you know, such point that we get there, it's going to be kind of cobbing together with a lot of different sources and primarily from the member assessments. So you guys are familiar with us. I don't necessarily need to review it, but so this is the final budget for the years 23, 24. In the first two columns, there was the budget final and then the year-end estimate, which shows the savings that we're rolling over into the next year's budget cycle. And then this is very the lean version of what I showed you and what I explained in the narrative in the previous slides. Any questions about this slide? All right.
I'm just going to assume that the next time we see that slide, it'll have $100,000 more.
It will. Okay. Yeah.
Well, 200 more, right?
Well, it'll have a $50,000 assessment from each the county and the, okay. Yeah. Understood. So 100,000 total. And then some of these items in the expenditures will be bumped up based on the feedback that you gave me today. Great. Any other questions about this? This is just for our study session, so there's no vote needed.
Yeah, I think this has been a helpful conversation. As you say, there's a lot of unknowns that we are looking at, but I'm glad that we are clear about what we don't know.
Hopefully. The known unknowns.
Yeah, the known unknowns. So, thank you.
Great. All right. So I think we've come to the end of the board agenda.
Okay. Through the chair.
Yes.
We need to open it up for public comment.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea. Is there any public comment? I don't see anyone in the room.
Yeah, we did have one member join via the Zoom meeting and his hand is up, but we have not been taking comment via Zoom, so I'm not sure how to handle this situation.
Could we encourage that person to send an email that you can distribute to the board?
Great. Okay, so I'm sure Gregory Person heard that, and so I will follow up with him on that.
Okay. And just to be clear, I'm trying to keep it clean that we're, you know, if we have a policy, we're going to stick to it. And
yeah,
I'm sure that he has something worthwhile to say, but have to do it a different way.
Yes. Okay. Great.
All right.
So I think
that brings us to adjournment.
Yes.
Very good. We'll adjourn this meeting. Do we have our next meeting scheduled? Oh, it says right here, April 15th, 11 a.m., same place.
Yes, and just to reiterate, that will be
the consideration about comment on the whole meeting from the community. And they said, well, there's only one person who's got their hands raised. It's Gregory. And
oh, wow.
Then they
said, interesting. Well, I don't know what's happening. Something weird on the Zoom.
We really have a policy
feedback.
Chris said, can we just encourage that person to send us an email and we'll consider it?
Okay. Well, I think we should adjourn at this point. Okay. Great. Thanks.